Let us remain standing as we turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, and then to Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Ephesians 1, 1, and then chapter 6, verse 1. Ephesians 1:1 is on page 976 of your pew Bibles. Let's turn our attention now to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, and all the faithful in Christ Jesus. And then skipping ahead to chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. This is God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. Let's look together to Him in prayer. Our Father and our God, we are humbled by these words. As parents, we realize that we are called to the impossible task of raising our children in a way that pleases you. So, Father, we pray for your forgiveness where we fall short of your great charge. But we ask for wisdom and grace and strength and guidance so that we can raise your children the way you've called us to do. For it's in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I want to ask you a question. What percentage of high school students will leave the church by the age of 30? What percentage of high school students around the country, think about 18-year-olds, they are going to church on a regular basis, they're professing Christians. When they turn 30, what percentage of them will leave the church, will not be visible, will not be involved in what's going on? What do you think? Yeah, it's a staggering number. Conservative estimates say 70%. I've seen 80. And it's staggering to think that people who, if you asked them right now, would say they're going to heaven. If you asked them 12 years from now, would not even want to entertain the question. Why is that? Why is that? Well, it's easy to point the finger at a lot of youth groups, which are, let's face it, they're entertainment-based. That's why I'm glad we have Tim Mulder as our youth minister. He's a servant, and he's training these young people how to be servants too, you know. But we don't have that problem here, but they do in a lot of churches. And so they get into the world, and college students or people in the workforce go, hey, wait a minute, this is not the way my youth group was. I'm out of here. Maybe it's because they never saw their relationship to the church as an integral part of their daily life. Maybe it's because they never saw their relationship with Jesus Christ as an integral part of their daily life in the way that they were raised. And so as children grow up, enter the workforce, as they go off to college, they start jettisoning things that are not vital to their life. And one of the first things that goes is Christianity. Now, one of the reasons that I read the first verse of Ephesians, as awkward as that sounded as we were doing that, is to show that there's responsibility on both children and parents in this problem. The responsibility for the children is the fact that here is a letter written by Paul to the saints, those who are set apart, called out for a purpose, just like our friends in the military are called out for a special calling. So the saints in Ephesus and the saints in Corpus Christi are set apart so that they are responsible for acting differently than your typical college student is. For example, the fact that somebody is here, if you're a child of a covenant family, if you're a child here, you have special blessings and responsibilities just because you're at church. You hear the gospel proclaimed. You see the gospel lived out in front of you. You are prayed with. You are prayed for. You enjoy the fellowship of believers. And so there are blessings and responsibilities for children just by the fact that you are here, right now. But also, the responsibility is that you have to represent Jesus Christ just as much as an adult does, just as much as a parent does, so that Russell Sigler will represent Jesus Christ on the football field on Friday nights just as much as Coach Ed Arvin will. It's a responsibility that's not just for your family, it's not just for the adults, but it's for the kids as well. But we also see from these verses in Ephesians chapter 6 that not only are children responsible for representing Christ, but parents are responsible for giving them the environment in which they will thrive and grow. So the theme from the previous verses in Ephesians 6 are that children are responsible for responding to the means of grace, to whom much is given, much is demanded. You have heard the gospel many, many times. It's your responsibility, even more than if you had never stepped foot in a church, for you to embrace the gospel. But the message, the theme of this morning is going to be, parents, that you are responsible for flooding your household with the same means of grace that God will typically use to draw these children to themselves. You're supposed to smother them with the means of grace. And so that's what we're talking about this morning. So in this passage, God calls us as parents to raise his children. Yes, they're his children. We're just stewards. But God calls us as parents to raise his children according to his standards. Are we doing that? Are we doing that? Are we looking at our kids as God's children? Are we raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? And so we're going to break up this verse, chapter 6, verse 4, into two parts. One, the first half, we will look at what it means not to provoke our children to anger. And in the second half, we'll look at what it means to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Okay, so that's how we're going to break it up this morning. First part, do we provoke our children to anger? It's interesting because in Greek, if you want to emphasize something, you put it first in the sentence. Often you'll see a word out of order or a phrase out of order because that's how they emphasize things in Greek. And so the reason we see the first part of this sentence say, do not provoke your children to anger, is because that's what the emphasis for Paul is in this process. It's like he's saying, raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but be careful in the process that you don't cross the line and provoke them to anger. And that's especially difficult for us men. We typically can get competitive with our kids. We typically can cross the line with our kids. It's very difficult for us as fathers not to cross the line and provoke our children to anger. So that's how the sentence is structured. It's place first, because that's the emphasis of this verse. Now, let me just say this. Just because our kids get mad at us doesn't mean we have done something wrong as parents. So, kids, you can't go home, get mad at your parents, and play the Ephesians 6:4 card. You just can't do that, all right? There's a basketball player that I grew up watching. His name was Bill Laimbeer. Many of you will remember him. And Bill Laimbeer was known for being a hothead. And he would argue with the refs. He'd get in fights, all this kind of stuff. Well, Bill Laimbeer was also a scratch golfer, which meant he controlled his emotions on the golf course enough to shoot even par on an average, okay? Which meant all the stuff he did on the basketball court was a show. Now, some of it might not have been, but he was able to control his emotions to the point where he could maintain his focus on the golf course, the most frustrating sport known to man. How much more? So what he was doing, he was pushing the buttons of the officials. He was pushing the buttons of his opponents, trying to see where the limits were. And I think a lot of times when kids get mad, they're just being Bill Laimbeer. So just because you might make your kids mad, it doesn't mean you've crossed the line. And that's a fine line to determine whether you've done that. But you don't want to place stumbling blocks in front of them. You are the representative of God to your children. You represent the Lord to them. The goal is to make our kids love the Lord and follow the Lord, not put stumbling blocks in front of them. And especially if you talk to people that might have a hard relationship with God, and you ask them, what are some of the stumbling blocks that have come between you and God? They would say, it's not their mother, but it's their father who often come between them and their healthy relationship with God. So don't put a stumbling block between you and your kids needlessly. But also, if you're not making them mad every once in a while, you're probably not telling them no enough. That's just how they're wired. Okay, so what are some things that someone as a parent can do that would provoke their children to anger? What are some things that this clause of the verse should eliminate from our lives? And as I list these things, just be thinking about what you're prone to do. Or if you're not yet a parent, what you might be prone to do down the road. But first of all, excessive discipline. This would be the equivalent of arresting somebody for going just 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. One time I got a $100 ticket for going 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. And I was so angry, I still remember it 25 years later. All right, so excessive discipline. And basically, reasonable parenting produces reasonable kids. Reasonable parenting produces reasonable children. And so we don't need to be perfect parents. We're gonna do things excessive sometimes. We're not gonna go far enough sometimes, but just shoot for being reasonable, and that's all your children can ask for. Another thing that causes children to get angry is arbitrary discipline. Children have a keen sense of justice, especially when they have siblings. And they know what their siblings have gotten away with, and so they expect to get away with the very same thing. Or maybe they've done something that you've let slide over time, and then sometimes you just jump up and react to it because you're having a bad day. But arbitrary discipline is another thing that children will become angry, and rightly so. Anybody who's played sports with referees knows all you want is consistency. That's all you can ask for. Bill Laimbeer, that's all he could ask for is consistency. You know, when we're watching the Astros game last night, all the pitcher and catcher want, batters want, is a consistent strike zone. And once they know what that is, they can adjust accordingly. So consistency is a big deal, not just in sports, but also in life. unkindness, especially talking about children in public. And I don't know what it is, but there's something about talking about our children that gives us badges of honor or something that makes us want to do it publicly. If they ever hear what we say about them, or if they ever find out that we've done that, that's very hurtful to them. And so that's another thing that can make them angry. Another thing that causes anger, pressing buttons. And we all have buttons that can be pressed and to set us off. And we know our kids' buttons. We know they know our buttons. And so for us to press those buttons is another way to fight below the belt. Showing favoritism. Another thing, especially when you have multiple children, if you are showing consistent favoritism, and this goes even in the Bible for Joseph was hated by his brothers because he was the favorite from their father. So favoritism can go a long way to making children mad. And then not going far enough with discipline. There's children out there who will purposely disobey just to see if it gets a reaction. And the Bible says, if you spare the rod, you hate the child. Do you love your children enough to go through the hassle of bringing the discipline, bringing the heat to them on a consistent basis? Because let's face it, it's easy to look the other way. And they want to know, do you love them enough to be consistent in your discipline? So those are some things as I read that verse in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Those are some things that I think of for myself, and maybe you can relate to them too, that can provoke our children to anger. And again, we are God's representative. We don't need to add to it by making them mad at us and therefore God any more than necessary. You as parents, especially fathers, can get in the way of a child's healthy relationship with their Heavenly Father. So how often do we model a Christian home for our children? Are we surrounding them with the means of grace? Or are we just looking at our household like every other household in America that might be Christian in name only, but we don't provide the nurture and the admonition, we don't provide the means of grace around the household that we should be on a regular basis. So, number one, don't provoke your children to anger. The second half of this sentence, of this verse, is the positive side, where in the original language, it talks about discipline and instruction. You might remember the old King James translation of this, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But this first word for discipline, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, this word discipline means what it looks like in the English Standard Version here. It means training with discipline involved. It's training in righteousness. It shows up as the word training in righteousness in 2 Timothy 3:16, when it talks about all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for rebuke and correction and the training in righteousness. It means tutoring by disciplinary correction. Technically, it means tutoring by disciplinary correction. Now, it's nice that we have Sunday school classes starting back. It's nice that we had Vacation Bible School. It's nice that that Tim is working with our youth. But it is up to the fathers especially, and parents in general, but fathers especially, to make sure that this is done for their kids. The fact that we have a Sunday school teacher doesn't relieve you of your responsibility to raise your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We're responsible for training and disciplining our kids according to the Bible. We train them up according to the Lord, what He says and what He states in His Word is our blueprint for how we raise our children. So discipline, it's something that if you have it on the football field, if you have it on the basketball court, it's what you want in your teams, and it's what you want in your household. How do you get discipline? Well, you draw the line where you think the line needs to be drawn, or where the Lord says the line needs to be drawn, and you take care of anything that crosses the line. You come up with the appropriate discipline, the appropriate consequences of the person crossing the line. If your child says stuff in the house that is not appropriate, you need to step up and take care of it. You allow whatever is going on in your household by not disciplining the children in the process of what they do. So it's important that you set the line according to Scripture and that you have consequences for your children when they cross it. The other word in here is instruction. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And the instruction, it refers to us calling attention to the Word of God. And I want to turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and this is back on page 151. Deuteronomy chapter 6, page 151. And this is one of the verses I think of when we think about instruction in the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And all these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk in by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. So the whole time you're talking about the Bible and what it says and how it pertains to what's going on in your children's life at that time. It's talking about teaching them to love God. It's teaching them to obey God, diligently walking in all of His ways, and everything we do honors God. And then it continues, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand so that everything you do will reflect the Lord's instruction. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes so that everything you think about will be filtered by the Word of God. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house so that everything you do in your house will reflect the Word of God. And you shall write them on your gate so that when you leave your house and wherever you go, you will be a representative of the Lord your God no matter what you do. You see, that is what Paul is thinking about when he's talking about the instruction of the Lord, that he's giving the parents a total picture of how the Word of God needs to be totally infiltrating everything we do in our homes. Those who have done that will tell you it's worth the effort. Those who have done that will tell you that it's worth the effort and that they can look back and they can see generation after generation after generation of children who are walking with Christ. Now, again, good parenting doesn't necessarily make a Christian child, but our goal is reasonable parenting produces reasonable kids. And we have to trust the Lord that He will use these common means of grace to draw our kids to Himself. If the children are disobedient, then first, parents, look at yourself and just say, is this a reflection of me? Have I failed them in not providing the means of grace as much as I should have? Am I enabling them to stray across the boundaries that they should not stray across without any kind of correction? Children have a keen sense of justice, and so we need to give them consistent, steady discipline. We also want to give them positive encouragement, because walking with God is a challenge. And so not only is our training of them have negative elements, but it also has positive elements that we are looking to encourage them anytime we see them doing something that looks like it's reflecting Christ's likeness in their lives. So if your kids are straying, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have done something wrong, but it should cause you to look in the mirror to double check and say, is there more I should have done? Is Christ preeminent in our family? Likewise, if your children have turned out well, you can't pat yourself on the back. It's only by the grace of God that our children embrace Jesus Christ. So parenting, it's one of those things where we're relying on the sovereignty of God, the means of grace to draw kids to ourselves, to draw kids to themselves, to God. But at the same time, we confess that we are not worthy and not able to do it on our own. Where do you stand this morning in your parenting? Where do you think you're going to stand down the road as the days get hard? Where do you see yourself falling into certain traps? Do you see yourself being too slack? Do you see yourself crossing the line and being too harsh? Parenting is one of those things that God uses to draw us as parents to Himself, to draw us on our knees to Himself. So how do we stand with Him? God tends to work through families. Many of you can trace your Christian faith through your family to believing parents. And that's our goal, is that our children will be able to say the same thing down the road, that they embrace Christianity because of what they were taught and what they learned at home. And so are we providing them the means of grace that God naturally uses, the word, prayer, the sacraments, fellowship with His people, being around the people of God, to draw His children to Himself? There's a great book out there called Age of Opportunity, and the theme of that book is it's never too late to get started. You might be the parent of adults, and you're kicking yourself as you're listening to these things, and you're thinking, oh man, I blew it with my oldest child, or I've blown it with my children. It's never too late to get started on Christian parenting. It's never too late to emphasize the means of grace to your children. It's never too late to start praying with your children and start praying for your children, that they would grow closer to your families, that they would grow closer to God. So it's never too late. But remember, if you are sitting back, kicking yourself, the goal is not being a perfect parent. The goal is to be a reasonable parent. And the reasonable parent is basically following the instructions that God gives us. And so let's now look together to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, as we think about our parenting, as we think about all the ways that we have done it wrong over the years, Father, we pray first of all for your grace, that you would, in a similar way that you take our prayers, that we just mutter and groan, and you convert them into something that makes sense. Father, we pray that you would take our parenting and make it profitable for our children, and take the memories of our parenting and draw them closer to yourself. Father, we also want to pray that you would give us wisdom in the midst of difficult situations that we just flat don't know what to do, that you would give us great wisdom on how to act and how to respond to our children. Father, we pray that you would give us a filter so that when children press our buttons, we would not respond in anger, but that we would wait and calm down first before we discipline our children. And Father, we also pray that you would help us not to provoke our own children, not to press their buttons, but Father, that you would help us as we seek to love our children and nurture them and help them grow closer to you. For we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.